Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello guys, and welcome back to Injury Time. It's been a while. Yes, it's been a while that all of us got together for a live recording of the show. Last episode that you saw was a pre-recorded show with Pradyum Reddy, Wes Sandeep, and Pradyum, who spoke about the ISL season that we had. But this time around, we are back with a live show. And we'll be talking about the Indian men's team that were in action a few days back. Played two friendlies in Bahrain. First one against Bahrain themselves and second one against Belarus. Keeping aside the whole fact that should India have played Belarus, given the situation that Belarus finds themselves in now, keeping that aside, we'll be talking a lot about the matches that unfolded and the AFC Asian Cup qualifiers that are coming up in June will be played in Kolkata. And then also there's a news coming in on the women's national team front where they'll be playing two friendlies. So we'll be talking all of that. But before we get into it, let me just bring on our panelists for the day. Like I said, it's a full house today. Joining us from Bangalore is Sandeep. Hey, Sandeep.
Hey, man. What's up?
Doing good, man. Like, you look pretty awesome now, as the trend has been with chopped hair.
Yeah. It's too hot for long hair now.
Yeah, too hot for long hair. Also joining us is Abresh Mina, who joins us from Delhi. Abby, welcome to the show. Good evening.
Hello, guys. Good evening.
And yes, Orko has finally found a way to be online, despite all the technical problems that he's been facing at his end. Hello, Orko. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
Let me start with you. Let me ask you, what's up? You saw two matches where India played international friendly. And then you did a Twitter Spaces where you were you were all emotional because things sounded like you were very disappointed with the way things unfolded in that first friendly, especially against Bahrain.
I don't know. I wasn't disappointed. I guess I expected it only. I expected them to lose badly. But, I mean, it was narrow, but I think the way in which they lost was a bit, disappointing. But I think we've come to expect it from the Yugoslavia match era. It's an era of, underwhelming results. I like him as a character, though. I think he has a lot of quips and quotes, and there are a lot of interesting things he says. But I think that's where I draw the line, and there's nothing else that I have to say about him. It's been 3 years, and I don't see it improving as such. I just hope they have a plan, you know, in case we don't make it to the Asian Cup. Like, what does he do? How is he going to collect his unemployment benefits?
All right, but you spoke about things that you like about Igor Stimac, but you forgot the fact that he has some really good dance moves up his sleeves.
Dance moves. He also finished, third at a World Cup once as a player, right, which is great. But as a coach, I think some Redditor a couple of years ago, he warned everyone what to expect from Igor Stimac, and I think he was spot on. I think. A lot of people wished that Constant was gone. And now I think a lot of people look at his photo every morning and say, like this, in typical Pink Floyd fashion, they'll be like, I wish you were here. Someone give Constant a call. I'm telling you, seriously, someone has to call him and thank him for whatever he did this time here.
Abhi, what about you? Two matches against higher-end opponents. This is something that we've always been wanting, right? To see India play against better opponents at the international stage in the friendlies. Because then when the competitive matches come about and you face higher-rank opponents and India are always struggling. So this is a welcome change in that front that you got to play Bahrain and Belarus. Performance, yes, underwhelming. But how did you look at the two matches?
No, of course. See, any kind of, like, we always talk about, if there's one thing we always talk about is game time, right? So there's, like, there's nothing that, you know, bad about playing games, right? So it's always going to be good. And obviously playing against better opponents, yeah, you do kind of get a chance to see where you stand. And we have actually pretty much seen where we stand. So, yeah, I mean, it's good that you get to play these games. But again, like, you know, if you're playing games of, you know, it's sort of this importance because they're against better teams. So you kind of judge yourself better. So you need to go with a much better strategy. You need to look at these games as not just testing grounds of players, but also testing ground as to what you want to be doing, say, for at least the next two set of matches that you're going to get. I don't see that happening. And that is an issue that I feel more, because I feel like it keeps changing with every these, like, you usually have these games in sets of two, right? So it just keeps happening. Everything keeps changing from those two matches to the next two matches. There is no continuity, I feel. And I find a problem in that, actually. I think that hampers everything else.
Well, lack of continuity, we'll talk more about that as we go about our business in this show. But Sandeep, your thoughts on the two matches. First up against Bahrain, where India scored one goal after conceding first. But second round around Belarus, first half managed to hold them to goalless result. But in the second half, ended up conceding three goals. How did you see these two matches?
So I'm going to be the odd one out here. I'm just going to be like, I see a lot of people going after Stimac, and that's fair from their point of view. I'm just going to defend him, saying that whatever problem that Indian football has, he is unfortunately the face of it, not really the cause of it. So that's my take on this. And in terms of the game, I thought first match tactically they were good up until like 60 minutes, 70, maybe closer to 70 minutes. And then they sort of got tired. The intensity of the football that international teams play, we are not used to it. And Horko and I had a discussion about one tweet that came about fitness levels. And I do think a slightly improved fitness level will help. But at the same time, we never play with this intensity against any team in ISL or I-League or any other league that we play, unless you play the Champions League or maybe the latter stages of the AFC Cup. That's where you see the same intensity. So you're not used to it. So obviously you get tired, and then you see whatever plans that they had with the middle press and everything goes out of the window. Everybody is dropping back. But what I do find rather unfortunate is how often we lose runners in the final third. And sometimes you escape, sometimes they punish you. So that probably is something that they need to work at. Plus a lot of them were, not a lot, some of them new players coming in. Roshan never played an international game, so probably has some tension. Same with VP Suher, Hormik Pam, all of them got a chance to play. So fair enough. I think we have what we need to qualify. And then at the AFC Cup, we'll actually see. I mean, that's when I'm going to judge Stimac for all the work that he's done. If you get to the AFC Cup, how do you play at that level? Because probably not going, at least two teams will be better than you. So how do you play against them is going to be the question. So that's when I'll get on one camp or the other. But
so if we don't make it to the Asian Cup, will you not judge the match then? Will you
then it's a failure, right? If you don't get it to Asian Cup, then it's 100% failure. But if I think they'll make it, man. It's an absolute shambles if you don't make it to the AFC Cup final.
It could very well happen. I have stopped expecting. I'm not telling you that I'm disappointed or anything, because Bahrain and Belarus, what did we expect? We expected to lose, right? I'm just telling you, it isn't as close as the scoreline suggests, because you just look at the simple thing, right?
It's not close.
No, I'm just saying in Bahrain's case also, right? In the lead-up to the goal, in the lead-up to the second goal, right? They had three opportunities where they progressed the ball from their goal mouth or from their goalkeeper all the way still our box, right? Which means they did 90% of the work without any effort. We didn't put in effort to stop their progression. We didn't check their progression in midfield. It was just their, you know, uselessness in the final third that prevented it from being a route. Otherwise, it just looked like men versus boys. It looked like we were two steps behind at every step of the corner. And I agree with you. The question is always about intensity, the intensity of football actions, right? And that again ties up to your point where you're saying, you know, how often do we lose runners? I think more than fitness, it's about how we remain switched on at that point of time. You know,
yeah,
how
you get tired, you switch off. No, that's generally what happens.
I agree. I mean, when the body goes, the mind goes with it, right? I understand that. But my point is, of course, he's just the face of a problem. Probably the development starts from the club. It's not the national team's responsibility to produce players who can play at that level. But having said that, I think I have to agree with Abresh Mina also, where there isn't like a semblance of a plan. See, when I talk about Constantine, right, there's a plan. I mean, he dropped it on JJ's head. JJ will go in for that first header. You know, he'll try and flick it onto Sunil. You know there's a plan. You know there's a semblance of a plan. My thing that's, and my only, what do you say, problem with Stimach is that there doesn't seem to be one coherent plan. I think someone pointed out, right? He's playing different formations. He's playing, once he's playing four attackers, once he's playing six defenders. He just seems to be going through the motions himself. It just seems like we have a very underconfident guy at the helm. And that's really kind of coming through. Constantine, whatever said and done, he was very dogmatic. He had his plan and he would execute it, come hell or high water, right? He didn't give a shit about what you thought, right? He didn't give a shit about what Navin thought.
He told me also, I don't give a shit about what you think.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, right? He was very dogmatic, he was very persistent, but he had a clear idea of what he wanted to do. Now, Stimach, I still can't say what he's trying to do. And that's my biggest problem.
I'll come with a small detour here. I blame the Federation for that because they gave the mandate that you have to play a certain way. I mean, I don't know if that is now used as a shield or as an excuse now.
But that also doesn't happen much. Na? That is not.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Even that doesn't happen. So what is really, you know, the idea? What is really...
What style are we playing? Because we were promised this free-flowing passing style that we would try. We tried it, I think, in one match and then we abandoned it.
Yeah.
Right?
We can't play like that.
We can't. I know we can't play like that. I know we can't play like that. I recognize our deficiencies. Right? All I'm asking is, what is Stimach trying to do?
The truth bombs.
Yeah. Yes. But moving on, Sandeep, you spoke about how it's not Stimach's blame alone to take because it's the outcome of the kind of system that we have, the lack of system that we have, and the Indian team suffering because of it. But isn't Stimach someone who came about, who was given this job because he knew what to expect from Indian football and he had a plan for that?
All this is just things that you say, okay, when you hire someone. It's not, I don't think he knew anything in the great depth because the first thing he said is we don't have strikers. We haven't had strikers in years. How is that even something that, you know, is surprising or whatever?
Yeah, it's not like an international secret, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a secret we don't have strikers. Like, yeah.
Numbers, and then you're like, yeah, this is just about all we have. But, which, dude, I want to see, when India plays, I always feel like they should play defensively and then try to play on the counter. Because,
yeah,
essence, the doggedness has to be there in the team for you to get something out of it. And I'm not saying you should play like that against Nepal or Sri Lanka and all, especially when you're playing a slightly higher level team. So for the second half against Bahrain, the first 20 minutes, I was quite like, oh, they're doing well defensively, the shape and all is there. And then it went off. So the question is, how can you ensure that those good attributes last for 90 minutes and those, you don't fade as quickly in the games? So there are ways to sort of regain your energy in the game. There is a lull in the game. Both teams, they don't go full pelt all the time. So all these are game awareness and sensitivities and ability that players have to pick up. which we are still some way behind in terms of that. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I just hope that they qualify for the Asian Cup. For Sunil, as we said the other day, right? For Sunil Chhetri. The team has to do it for him.
Okay. Before we move on, let me just get Orko back on, who's been struggling for internet. Orko, is your internet, is your technical problem finally solved?
Yes.
Or is this like the Indian football team where problems never end?
Yes. No. My laptop is like the Indian football team. It's a bit slow, actually. It's like my entire laptop is made out of Internet Explorer, like our defense only.
But guys, that said, right, some of the defending, when you look at it, the player has ran. He's ground run through, broke the offside run. The reaction also, it's like, you know, some, the dog hears a whistle. You look at it, and then you think for 2 seconds and then run. The reaction is not automatically go back. All that has to obviously change.
Exactly. I mean, and I think that's a problem that we regularly see in the ISL also. Yeah, they take so much time to just react to things.
Yeah, true.
Forget blindside runs. If somebody makes a blindside run, then to we are gone. Okay. But even if it's not a blindside run, it's right in front of them. They still want to, I don't know what they're waiting for to, you know, make the move and, you know, get behind the player or get in between the ball and the player. Another thing that I find a problem with, everybody just keeps takes a position behind the opposition player. What is even the point of that? If you're standing behind the opposition player, the ball is going to be with the opposition. What are you going to do? Are you going to tackle him from behind then? And anyway, it's a foul. So why? I don't see this in the team, that they don't try and get in between the player and the ball, which is where you should try and be, because that is how you can actually stop moves and progress the ball as well. So yeah.
Well, Akash Naik says friendlies are meant to be to practice a style, but all we do is defend. But in hindsight, probably that's the best we can do. As
still if that is 3-2, huh?
But still we defend.
That is our national style of play only.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it as long as you
win. I think high time that people also accept that is how we can play. It doesn't have to be a very, you know, amazing style of play.
I agree with what Shubham is writing, right? And I've always said this. The next step to SAF, right, is not Central Asia, is not West Asia, it's not East Asia. It's ASEAN only.
Yeah.
It's ASEAN. Like, if SAF is the weakest sub-federation in the world, then I think next is ASEAN only. And we need to play regularly, and I know we beat Thailand twice, but I don't think Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, everyone's going to be roll
this
over.
Thailand thing, right? Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
The second Thailand match, that was in the King's Cup, I think. He won 1-0.
Correct.
Right. That was Thapa, I think, scored the goal. One goal difference. That 4-goal difference in Thailand, that was a team in disarray internally.
You had JJ,
who was not scored in years, score a goal. Yeah. A lot of things went our way in that one game.
Yeah.
And so then you
saw the highlights of it for ages.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you look at the whole game properly, other than those 4 chances which we took, on another day, we may not have taken those.
Yeah.
And most of the time, we don't. Like, at the moment, when you look at Indian national team, Liston is the one player who you can say he's confident to take a shot. And most of the time, he hits the target also. May not be a goal, but he hits it. Hmm. So, he has that confidence to come and take that opportunity. A lot of the people don't have it. So, next time, similar circumstances are presented to you, may not take it. So, that is like a, what do you call, very lucky day for that.
Yeah, that was a very lucky day, and I thoroughly enjoyed it being there. Let's not talk more about that. But these two matches, especially against Bahrain and Belarus, there were problems in this team also. Like, you didn't have a Sunil because he was injured. Then a few players did not get their visa on time, so they reached late, or they didn't reach. I don't know what actually happened with them. So, what kind of a preparation is this for the qualifiers? Because after this, there are no matches. You're playing the qualifiers, right? Or are there any other matches on
non-FIFA dates? No, they're playing 4 friendlies.
On non-FIFA dates?
That's what he said, yeah.
Okay.
In May, I think they'll play 4 friendlies.
But these two matches, talking largely about them, what is the outcome of this? Like, is there a progress that we've seen? Like, is there that we can be, not confident, at least be a little satisfied, okay, this came out of these two matches?
See, what is very clear to me is that the back five has to change. It has to go. I feel like Constantine did, right? He inherited a team from Kuberman. He stuck with it for the majority of, let's say, 2 years. It didn't pay him any dividends. We had a terrible World Cup qualifying campaign. Although, in hindsight, it was a much tougher group than what we got this time. We got Afghanistan, Bangladesh this time. I mean, seriously. But apart from that, right, I think what Simad should realize, if he still hasn't woken up, if the Lord still hasn't woken up to it, is that the back five isn't working. It isn't working anymore. And I mean, people talk about cohesion, coherence. I point out on the space here also, three out of that back four are from the same club.
Correct.
Right? I mean, you can blame the club, you can blame that coach. There's no point. There's simply, I just think, and in Indian football terms, I don't want to keep repeating it, but if they are 28-29 in Indian football terms, right, then I mean, you get what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Right? Arnab Mondal retired at 28, I think. Yeah, right? Right. Arnab Mondal actually had more than 50 appearances for the national team. So, the point is we don't have depth also in those positions. Like, I mean, in the fullbacks, we do. But at the centre-backs, the major problem. Right? So, back three, again, I don't know. He tried it. It was hit and miss only. So, something has to give.
Again, it's against the higher ranked opposition that I have
agreed. No, it's so, not even the ranking. You know Belarus is better.
They are the better team, yeah.
So,
I'll give them that benefit of the doubt. Because I saw that run. That guy was too fast, man. There's nobody who can catch up and all. Especially when the middle of midfield and all. Nobody's going to run that fast. So, very sorry to say. But that's the situation that they find themselves in. But I do think, like, they found... So now, if there is no Brandon, you have an option of Roshan for set pieces, right?
Because Brandon and for general deliveries, I think.
Yeah, for a cross and stuff. Now, you if Roshan can play on both sides, we know that.
Yeah.
So even if Brandon is on the other side, if this guy can play on the opposite flank, you have two guys who can deliver great balls. Now, the question is, who is going to be at the end of it to receive? We hope that Sunil is at the end of it to convert it. That would be ideal. Akash Mishra, Ashish Rai, I really like the two wide back players. It's the centre backs who I think is a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, that's what, right?
But again, it's a lot of it has to do with pace. They don't have recovery pace and you can't really do anything about it, right? It is what it is.
But you are talking about recovery pace where we played a ridiculously low line against Bahrain after scoring. We kept dropping deeper and deeper and deeper. And
I think they just got tired.
I'm saying that has less to do with recovery pace and you having played enough matches at that level to be switched on. Even after Bahrain scored the second goal, right? It was still all Bahrain. It was all, the traffic was all Bahrain. Right? Never once did anybody, you know, hold their hand up in midfield and say, you know, I'm going to stop. I'm going to not make this look like men versus boys. That is the problem. Right? I don't even know if my preferred three of, let's say, Brandon, Apuia and Thapa are also going to be able to solve it. I don't know.
You know what? A lot of people are hating on the centre defensive midfield role. That Pranoy played.
Yeah, but he at least...
We need him.
No, but he at least gave some back.
We need him.
And
we need him.
It stopped looking like
a destroyer that we need.
Yeah. If not Pranoy, someone of that elk.
I know, and people will always be like, oh no, we don't need the Pranay Haldas. But to be honest, like I said, we are at that level only. We are at that level only where we need a Mehtaab Hussain, we need a Pranay Haldar to disrupt and destroy.
I mean, imagine Khabra coming back and playing like the old Khabra of East Bengal days. That
difficult.
Difficult, give it his time. Difficult. Right, but...
Some few tackles at least you'll see.
Correct. And some fun. Abhi, you spoke about lack of continuity, right, in the past. There's something that it's been missing in this Steamaj era particularly. But this has been the case in Indian football. Like, you have never seen this continuity happen, right? Like Bob Houghton, then a lot of people retired. So Kuberman had to come in and change had to start afresh. Gomez did not play much. Then Constantine came in, so he had to start from the scratch. Constantine left with a team. Stimas decided, okay, this is not the team I want to play with. Then he again started afresh, giving out, handing out debuts, getting in players that he thought could fit the bill. Where does this stop? When is the time that we can start seeing a sense of continuity or a resemblance of continuity in Indian football?
So Abhi, no?
Yep. I think Abhi has some internet connection problem.
Orko,
if you want to take this.
I think Sharad is again. He said something about Pranay Haldar. But we'll come back to that. See, there is no continuity, I feel. It's probably going to come after Igor leaves.
But does it come even after Igor leaves? Because it doesn't. Because the new coach comes in and he brings
his own. I want to point out something that I saw and like I've been seeing, mm-hmm. right? So what happens is, from the time that we start playing internationals, right? Which is, let's say, at the under 15 level. Then you have the under 17 level, you have the under 19, you have the under 23s, right? Mm-hmm. We generally lack a pool of players who have played at that level. As in, you only, the tendency is to take, let's say, 20, 25 players and then, you know, what do you say, keep them continuing playing in that age bracket or in that group till the under 17s, under 19s, under 23s, right? Usually, if there are four, right? At the very least, you expect that there will be people from four squads fighting for that spot.
Right.
Let's say a pool of 80 players, a pool of 90 players, mm-hmm. who you've nurtured over the years, who've played that sort of level, that intensity, that level of opposition. What you're doing here is that you're taking, let's say, and it's not a surprise that a lot of these people have been playing in this for so long. There is a sense of comfort also that is developed. There is not a sense of, what do you say, need to compete for the spots. Right? For example, the Indian under 23 team that failed to qualify this time.
Yeah.
They've been playing together what? Since the time they entered the elite academy, at the time they're 14.
Correct.
14, and still there's no cohesion. And still there's no, what do you say, going from outside and trying to get players into this.
Yeah.
Right? Again, like I said, Shubham makes a good point. Continuity will come when there's a 40-game season. But still, Shubham, what you fail to realize is that a lot of these people have been playing together for a long time, right? Without so much as, what do you say, an external interference or an external set of players coming and threatening their position. That's not happened, right? They've just had like pass upon pass, pass to under 17, pass to the Indian Arrows, then now a pass to the under 23 side, irrespective of however they played.
So are you pointing out a lack of a sense of complacency setting in because they know their place is more or less guaranteed? They simply keep jumping from age group to senior team.
It's more than sense of complacency, right? If you have right now, what I was telling somebody was that the ISL has 7-11, 77 spots regularly for Indian players, correct?
Correct.
The
correct.
Set of probables was 38.
Mm.
That's 50% then there, right? So you're saying there's a 1-in-2 chance if you're a regular ISL starter,
correct.
You're getting that position.
Right.
This is maybe a systemic flaw where maybe there is not enough progression. Jamie Vardy is a good example from a seventh tier to a top tier and then a national team, right? This is maybe a systemic thing where you don't want to rock. If there's a bunch of guys playing under 17, they should have more competition for their under 23 slots.
Correct.
Right? I mean, if we compare the final World Cup under 17 squads and under 23 squads, are we going to find a huge, overlap? Yes, we are. That's my point. Right? The problem is, four people for one spot will push you higher than two people or just you being a part of the under 15s, under 17s, under 19s, Arrows, and then under 23s.
Correct.
Right? Maybe that pool of players needs to now come through to keep everyone on their toes. For example, centre-backs, right? center backs haven't played in the ISL for till this season. And so it's almost become by default that some people are getting selected. Right? That mentality needs to... That can't be a mentality change. It has to be a systemic change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Abhi, this question was initially to you, but then internet decided we have to go other way around. How do you look at this whole phenomena of lack of continuity? The way I looked at it was change in coach, new coach coming in every 5 years, every cycle for that matter, every World Cup cycle, a new coach coming in, bringing about his own philosophy and bringing in players that he thinks could probably fit the bill. But Orgo says it's more than that. It is a generational thing because there is a lack of competition at age group level because the ways to make inroads into your age group team is limited because people don't look outside that bubble or the set of players that have actually played in the lower age group teams.
Yeah, no, I feel continuity. I kind of agree with you in the sense that I just feel there is way too much change of plan. Like we always keep mentioning, right, that our style of play in the end, the style of play always has to be on the basis of the players that you have available, right? And in India, you don't have the players that can play, that fluent pass game.
Correct.
So, I feel the continuity is not there because of that. What Orko mentioned, yes, I do agree that there is a free pass for people because they have been in the system, so they've been there and they keep going from one stage to the other. So, yeah, there is that sense of, complacency that you know that your place is there and it's very, very difficult for others to break. I feel the problem, the fact that that there is there's a set of players, right? Like, for example, for the national team also right now, your selections are only being made from the ISL, right? So anybody playing in the I-League is not being noticed so much. It's pretty much limited to the ISL. So that is how you have just, you're squeezing your own pool. You can have far more players to look. You're squeezing your own pool and you're making it difficult to, get in more quality maybe. I feel continuity comes from the fact if you have constant flow of players and if you have pretty much similar, at least on the base, you have a similar philosophy. Over here, there is so much of hazardness at the grassroots level that you don't have continuity right from your childhood. You just keep on changing the way you play. So, yeah, that becomes difficult if you have to adjust with other people.
Will that answer?
I'd like to just share something that I put together recently. I don't know if I can share my screen. I'm going to just try sharing my screen.
Yes.
Share system audio as well. Let me know if you guys can see this. Can you guys see this?
Yeah. If you can zoom in on it.
Don't share the audio. Now, can you guys see this?
Well, we can see it. We can see it. But you have to stop sharing. You have to stop sharing audio.
Okay. One second.
Yeah.
Give me.
Or we can just keep quiet while he does this.
No, I don't think we should do that. There you go.
Can you guys see it now?
Yes, this is good.
Okay, I haven't shared the audio, right?
Yeah, go on.
So if you take a look at this, right, this is something I was doing for the under 18s that won the SAF championship, right?
Go on.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
This is women's game, no?
Go on.
So yeah. No, so yeah. This is just an example. This is an example of what I was saying, right? This is something that I was doing, right? So, essentially, the under 15 squad, right, got rolled on to the under 17 squad, then got rolled on to the under 19 squad, right? What I'm telling you guys is that there are very few, if any, right, fresh faces coming through, right? And they seem to have very little game time as such, right? What I'm saying is maybe there could be newer faces. You have, let's say, 5 or 6 new faces. Sorry, I'll just get back. Yeah.
But again, this is a women's game, no? Then time and numbers.
No, I'm saying this is an example of what I was saying, right? You have the same batch rolling over from the under 15s to the under 17s to the under 19s, right? So essentially, you have one set of players who you are banking on for all of those age groups, and these are same players that get rolled over to the national, because eventually, when it comes to natural selection, you're saying, oh, you know, these players have experience of playing youth internationals, right? So let's just go for them. What you were saying, you were restricting your pool right from a very young age, right? And that, I'm pretty sure it's not just this case. It's a case with the current, with the World Cup, under 17 World Cup batch also.
All right.
Arun is saying that's what Qatar is doing. But listen, Arun, my friend, Qatar is at a very high technical level when compared to us. We need our guys to push each other. We can't have this model of 23 players.
No, but I think what Arun actually meant was, can't we follow the Qatar model where they got a bunch of players years ago?
No, then he has a follow-up thing saying that's what Qatar is doing.
Yeah, largely Qatar is doing this now because they started at a very grassroots level, got a bunch of players, and they've been playing together as a team for a long time. And that is the bunch of players.
But how many games does the Qatar League play?
More than what teams in India play.
It will be at least 30-35. Plus cup competitions.
Correct.
And they would play a similar number of games in Aspire Institute also. Hmm. We've gone there, Naveen, you and I.
We saw them play. I don't think us picking a group of players and sticking them together is the best idea. It's not.
Okay.
Right? Because like I said, there's not enough game time. I agree with Sandeep. Right? And there has to be competition for places at every level.
Understood.
Right?
Understood.
Yeah. I mean, just saying. Like, I mean, Qatar, population-wise, demographic-wise, everything-wise different from what
India is.
We are.
Right?
For us, I still say it is best for the AIFF also perhaps to go more regional, right? Maybe do what the DFP did. I'm not saying again we should follow what Germany is doing, right? But what the DFP did is they set up DFB North,
correct,
West, Northwest, South, Southeast, right? Mm-hmm. Thus, you're creating, let's say, 6 de facto national teams, and who want to really, you know, compete with each other, who really want to fight with each other,
right?
Your first aim should be get into the, let's say, the India. I know it seems like a very, what do you say? It sounds like a cricket format, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have India South, India North. But it's so huge, right? Having a national competition is a burden on resources, especially the under 13, under 15, under 18 levels, right? You can't do that. You have to go more hyper-local. You have to break it up further, right? You have to have 6 into 23, like 150 guys fighting it out at every age group.
Sharad is someone who agrees with Orko on this. Decentralizing the whole footballing ecosystem can benefit the team, is what he says. And just adding a bit on why we can't do what Qatar is doing is because Qatar went about looking for players who could have had a Qatari origin across the world and then brought them. Then that's where you found Almoez Ali. Or you found Roro, who's their central defender, now going to the World Cup. These guys are not born and bred in Qatar. They were brought into Qatar and then naturalized as Qatari citizens, which eventually helped them, right? And they ended up winning. At the 2019 Asian Cup, Almoez Ali was the highest goal scorer. But he's not born in Qatar, but a naturalized citizen of Qatar. And that is something that we can't do here in India. There are limitations to that. And you can't expect the central government to change its policy just for a football team. Isn't it?
And just on Arun's point, that's exactly what we're doing. We have one elite academy in Goa or somewhere, okay, and we stick the same 25 players together, and we put all our eggs in that basket of 25 players. which I don't understand why we do. Because there are late developers, there are early developers. You know, there are some people who really take Hira Mondal, for example, right? Hira, people say, oh, you know, there's a lot of gap between I-League and Hira's taken to the ISL like a fish to water, right?
Right.
But how many age group squads has Hira been in? Is the question, right? So you never know. You never know, right? Which is why you need more people. For example, if you're building a center of excellence, mm-hmm. you don't pick 25 from a pool of 50 players, right? That's a lottery. That's not a center of excellence. That's a lottery,
right?
And I mean, our friend Richard Hood is probably the biggest expert on football in this country. I mean, he's absolutely spot on, right? And also, just to add to Shubham's point out what Richard said, right? It also reduces logistical costs.
Correct.
Involved.
You don't have a team from the south of India having to travel all the way to the northeast, which itself is a task in itself, right?
Look, it's very simple. Okay, there is proper research done by Scandinavian researchers about this. Where there is such a thing that if you go hyperlocal, there is a goodwill factor that runs within the community also. So your parents and the other team's kids' parents, everybody comes and meets each other. It facilitates community bonding. Plus, the kids feel a value, worth. There is a worth feeling of worth because they are representing their locality in those matches. Right. And then that obviously also comes with certain responsibility that you can't, you know, not play well in these games. You cannot
like
mess up.
The whole point of playing for your boyhood club, that whole thing.
It doesn't have to be boyhood clubs. So that's what I'm saying. These are really small clubs. These are feeder clubs. So then they go to a slightly bigger club when they get older. And the main club, by the time they get to them, they are 15, 16. So that's when they get to, by that time, they would have played so many games and all these games mean something. We are not playing friendly matches. They are playing small tournaments, weekend tournaments. Let's say there'll be one tournament in March. So over the four weekends, they play one tournament, one people win. So you feel like you've achieved something for yourself, for your team, for your community. And you feel certain worth as a kid also in this community, right? He's a good player. We talk about him. Like it happens in Kerala, if you come to RA, like sevens football area, we'll say that fellow is a good player. So that's a difference, but there are other reasons why it doesn't translate properly. So after that, then you have to move into the higher levels. Now, Ashu's asked, local and regional federations, they are there. But the point is, they are not doing a great job. Plus, there is this crazy thing that you can only represent, the tournaments have to be under the federation's view. If you look at the old school stories where we had players who came in, all these players who played the Olympics and who played the Asian Games, etc., who did well, who won things, they would play for the club and on the weekend they would just run away and play for a black tournament.
Correct.
So they played so many games. As a kid, they played with tennis balls. Then they would migrate to higher, bigger balls. And every time they play for their locality. So all of this was outside of the federation's rule. Now it's become such a level that if you play even I-League 2, you cannot play for the Santosh Trophy. And Santosh Trophy was a national championship for all these years. So the ISL players essentially play 20 games and that is it. So earlier you used to play 50-60 games in the course of a season. Now that doesn't happen. So all of this has a cumulative effect. Now Richard is absolutely correct in what he said. You have to go hyper-local. You have to ensure certain localities do better than the others. And focus on getting more people in the grassroots. There is, if you go to Mumbai on any of those grounds, ECI, Brabant, whatever, or their Maidan also, at one time there is some 15-20 cricket games happening. That is culture. And there is a funny thing. You look at the number of players that a country like Uruguay produces despite having limited population. They are the highest exporters of footballers. And this comes from the fact that most of the clubs are and tournaments happen in Montevideo,
right,
in the center. So all these kids from the age of 5, they play against each other all the time. So by the time you're
the Pony League,
you are really, really good. Otherwise, you don't make that level. And from there, you're a second division player who don't make that level in any other place. He's really good. The second division Uruguay player knows how to fight. He knows how to deal with, you know, bad situations, good situations, control emotions. All these game learnings and game management and mental training that you need. All of that, they grow up with it. they may not all be in a Cavani or a Suarez. They can be Adrian Luna. Just look at him come here and change, like absolutely dominated everything. Nothing mattered to him here. So there are people who are at his level. Now imagine Luna doing this year. How he's not the national team level.
Correct. Yet.
In a small team like Uruguay. So you need that competition at the local level to ensure the cream rises to the top. It has to be a funnel like this. It has to come up. Right. So all these things have been researched. There are research papers. There are coach expertise. There are everything done over so many years. So it's nothing that we can't do. It's just that we don't do it. And at some point, push will come to shove and we might have to do it or we'll have to fold as a footballing nation. Be happy playing one of these SAF Cups and winning SAF Cups. Which also is getting harder and harder.
True.
So, it's just a matter of time. Like, because the world is moving on. If you're stationary in the world, only you're going backwards. Correct. Because everybody else is going forward. So, it's a tough situation.
Well, a lot of interest, a lot of comments from our viewers. I'm trying to flash as much as we can. But one thing that really spiked up interest was when we were discussing Pranoy Alder. Everyone agrees that you needed Pranoy Alder, but our viewers don't. I'm just trying to pop up a few comments from them. First up, Shari, this is what Arko Sharath wanted to winning the ball and gifting it to the opposition doesn't make him one of the destroyer, I guess.
But everybody's giving it away, no? So what is it?
Yeah, everybody's giving it away, right? We rarely making the final third. We are always, it's always breaking down midfield or in even defense, right? I mean,
before that, he said this, can't make a five-meter pass.
No, I agree. Yeah. No, I know what he's referring to. So Pranoy's passing versus Bahrain was...
This one.
It was bad.
Just,
it was atrocious, yeah. Right? But like I said, I mean, nobody can, what do you say, not... There can't be a single player who comes and changes the face of the...
Correct.
Like, where is the... Like, then where is the destroyer to replace Pranoy? Right? I think this, we have some troll on our feed.
Exactly.
Some obsessed viewer we have. Right. I don't know. But it's okay. It's good to have fans. But I'm saying, where's the destroyer to replace Pranoy? I thought there were a couple of interesting cases in the I-League, but they haven't made the step
this
up.
This time I wouldn't say anything about I-League because they hardly played.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they haven't made the step up to the ISL yet. So, obviously, they won't be...
There's a young Aizawl striker who scored a lot of goals in assisted. Right now, playing 20-year-old, I think. Forgot his name. Yeah.
In hindsight, Uday Kumar is right. Understood Indian football better than Steve Marsh.
No, it's true. It's true.
Like, people just didn't like the way he portrayed his emotions. Like, the... in-your-face attitude is something that didn't sit well with a lot of people at the federation and the team, and that's what Constantine had to pay for. But another thing, one of the comments which I'm really searching for here...
Constantine also left at the right time.
Correct.
He left on a high.
Okay, this...
I think some of Constantine's experiments should have been... should have continued also.
But then...
The Ashik at number 9 experiment, I think, was the saddest bit. Why I don't understand why it wasn't continued, because I think it was absolutely electric to see him play there.
Very up and down.
At the Asian Cup. I really thought we had something in the making, and then he went back to club level and he played left back. So
that is club demands that what he does. This is something that I wanted to pop up. Aren't the best players from all tiers playing in the ISL? Orko, this is something they have spoken about.
We don't know.
But
yeah, see, Ashu, I want to say, right, there is no objective data from any tier beyond the I-League also. I think all Instat, every data ends at I-League level. I think you might get second division data from some of the analysts, but best players on the basis of what? Right? Data, number one. Two, you can say that people have moved up the ladder from the I-League to the ISL, or the second division to the I-League.
Right.
But like, again, what are the parameters? Were there better players who didn't move on? So, we don't know. We don't know is my honest assessment. We don't know if they were the best players that moved up the tires.
All right. There's a lot of praise coming in for Constant, and yes, all of us miss him in hindsight. But I think it's time for us to move on, just as Indian football has moved on from Constantine era to Steemaj's era, and whatever is in store for us in the coming months, weeks, and years. Up next, guys, friendly, right? Four friendly matches before the qualifiers next month, April, May, and then the qualifiers, of course, in June, which will be played in Calcutta. But before that, Abhishek Mina, I know that we can't see you because there's some internet problem at your end, but there is some news coming in from the women's football front. The national team will be in action, playing two friendlies. Could you tell us more about it? Is Abhi still around?
Okay, I think Abhi's out. Orko, you can take that.
Yes, Orko.
What?
The two friendly matches that in the women's national team are supposed to play.
I'm surprised with choice of opposition. I don't think it's the strongest opposition that we could have faced. Jordan and Egypt.
Correct.
I remember we've already lost to a Gokulam Kerala lost to a Jordanian team in the Asian Championship that they played.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean Jordan and Egypt are pretty nascent in terms of women's football. But I mean, honestly, so was Iran, and we drew against Iran. So
Egypt is going to be a hard game.
Yeah.
Okay. But can I ask you one thing? Like, what is this friendly in preparation for? What is next that's in store for the women's team? Are they playing the Asian games?
Asian games, we don't know because the government decides, right? Whether we're going to go to the Asian games or not. Last year, they didn't go the last time, 2018, right? But yeah, I think that has to be the next target, the Asian games. I'm guessing the next cycle of qualifiers will start after 2023, the World Cup. That I'm pretty sure there's some SAF championship that we're going to be playing.
Again.
Yeah, and there again,
but
I think they're
part. Let me ask you something. Like for the Women's World Cup, qualification happens through the Asian Cup, right?
Yes, the route is the same.
Yeah.
Like I said, no, the next year, the once the this cycle ends, I'm guessing another cycle starts.
Correct.
But yeah, SAF, I'm guessing Asian Games, if we go to the Asian Games, the last time the IOC said no. Nothing, the IOC said nothing doing.
Okay.
We're not going to the Asian Games because results haven't improved.
Right.
We got an exemption in 2014, but didn't get an exemption in 2018. So, yeah, I don't think there's much in the way of, let's say, senior football. But this, I've seen, again, Dennerby trying to do the same thing Steemaj is doing. He's trying to build a pool using the national team.
Correct.
Right? That means that the national team, again, is going to take some from this under-18 team and put them in the senior squad, try to take them there, try to give them, like, you know, exposure there. So, this is pretty much, you know, this pretty much become the norm now.
But what about the age group team? There was a SAF championship that happened in Jamshedpur, which India won.
Yeah.
Three teams participated. There was India, there was Bangladesh, and
Nepal.
Three teams. India lost the final game, but they still won the competition.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a vintage display. I mean, Nepal went up to the mark, to be honest. They went great opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Bangladesh was a...
But it was not an easy task, no? Bangladesh and all?
No, because Bangladesh, you have to see that it has pedigree at the under-16 level now. It is qualified to the under-16 Asian Cup twice.
Right.
In the women's section, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those players were also part of this... part of this score.
Okay.
They won one against Bangladesh and lost... But I'm talking about in terms of a under-17 World Cup build-up.
Correct.
We're not going to be facing teams of the caliber of Bangladesh. We're going to be facing much tougher teams. So, looking at it through that lens, it maybe wasn't the greatest of... yes, I know we won the title and all, but I'm not looking at it just from a...
Results perspective.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that you actually look for at age group, right? It's not results that should...
It's not. It's more performance.
Yeah, results not what should matter at age group.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's too much trolling happening on the chat session. I won't prop it up. Guys, I think that's all we have on this episode of Injury Time. The I-League is still on. Competition matches happening day in and day out. Can catch it on Facebook. It's available on Facebook and one of the channels. I don't know which channel
Facebook,
right. And then, yes, the under 17 Women's World Cup later in the year. The
IWL
Asian Cup
is also coming.
IWL
is coming. It's supposed to start April 15th. Mm-hmm. For the women, let's just like to inform everybody, you have two friendlies coming up against Jordan, Egypt. You have the IWL coming up. You have the under 17 National Football Championships in the women that's coming up. And there is also talks of an under 17 Women's Club Championship, which is going to be played first, state-wise and then national-wise. That is also in the works.
All right. Before we wrap up, there's one question that Sharad has asked. One question for the upcoming men's friendlies. What should be our target? Finding the best 11 for the
best 11 you found.
Or tinkering with the style.
For me, it's you have found your 11. You have tinkered enough. You're preparing the next four a particular manner so that you can go and win those three games. So you the same. You get the right players, your core group plays. You play the style of football that you want to play.
Has he found the best 11 though? He's still... VP Suhair still started a...
You know what? I am going to say this. I really, really think Suhair is a good player to have. Because of one thing is that he knows his level. He does not try to do things that he cannot do.
My point is, we are saying we found our best
11. Found his 11 in these games. The next three games should be to ensure that this... team works.
Should have is a very conditional statement. Should have is a very conditional statement.
What should be, no? So, for me, the target should be...
I'm just saying nothing is straightforward with Stimach. Don't assume anything's been done.
No, I'm saying, from my opinion, you should have found it by now. Play the 11, figure out the exact style of play that you want to play, and then go and win the three games. And then after that, same team has to be playing till next June.
Correct.
When the tournament happens. Whenever they're playing, you need to know your first 11 plus 4.
No, it's definitely late for us to be tinkering with the style. Right?
There's nothing to tinker now. Now you have to figure out how to win games.
Yeah, too late to tinker. The results matter now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been 3 years of tinkering, right? So...
Okay, on that note, we should end because thanks a lot, Sandy. Thanks a lot, Orko. Aparishmila, if you still hear us, if you're still around, we miss you. We hope to see you with full internet next time around when we go live. Because
she's just sad today. She's just sad we didn't discuss more Stimach Ball.
That's it. The name of the show was Stimach Ball. We're talking Stimach Ball. I made it very clear in the beginning.
I'm surprised we had so many viewers tune in after you said we were going to discuss Stimach Ball. That should have been a pointer to viewers to block our account.
Hey, why are you ruining the viewers who come here also? Huh? Why are you doing this?
People who come are very sad that we don't have enough followers. We are not growing. Let them come. Let them
help us. Hello, Naveen ruined it by putting one poll, okay? I didn't do it.
Hey, we got followers after that, okay?
Bad idea.
Yeah, all right. It's 11 o'clock.
I agree with you. Zero expectation, zero expectation. You know. See, Stimach said we are the strongest team.
I have expectations. You bloody qualify for the Asian Cup. It's a 24-team tournament, man. Like, for fuck's sake, we just qualify for that.
Cool, guys. Cool. Thanks a lot. Before we leave, just a reminder, Injury Time IND on Twitter, Instagram and YouTube. You can follow us. And join in the conversation. Not always is that we do a lot of conversations on all the platforms because, like I said, consumed by our work. But we'll try to be more regular. On that note, thanks a lot, guys.
Some interviews with some ISL players and I-League players and all.
Awesome. So that's what Sandeep's up to. Yep. That's what Sandeep's up to. So you know what to watch out for. Until we bring you the next episode, it's good night from all of us.